Hi, my name is Ashley Beckford, and I am the group's pastor here at Purpose Church. Prayer is really important to my own life, and one of the ways that I've felt connected with God is by writing things down. I actually have this prayer journal that I use where every month I write down my prayers for our community, our country, my friends, my family, and my favorite part about this is I get to write down every month the God answers. God has been true to his promises and he's answered these prayers, and it's just such a really beautiful way to be intentional about prayer. Prayer is mission critical here at Purpose Church, and I believe it's a beautiful way to connect with God. And I also believe that prayer is a beautiful way to connect others with God as we intercede and we pray for those who might be far from him. It says in 1 John 5:14 that if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. And how amazing that is, that God, the creator of the universe, will hear our prayers. In January, we have a 21 days of prayer challenge, and I'm so excited for this because what better way to dive into the new year than by praying together as a church family.
Well, thank you so much, Ashley, for sharing your story with us. And maybe that would be a great encouragement for all of us to start writing down our prayers in some way and then looking for moments where God actually answers those prayers. Well, welcome to Purpose Church, or welcome back to Purpose Church. My name is Eric, and I'm one of the pastors here, and I love you. And more than anything, the creator of the universe, God Almighty, loves you. And wherever you're watching or listening from, I believe that he has something for you. Well, let's open our Bibles to Acts chapter 2. And while you're flipping to Acts chapter 2, let me give you a little update from last Sunday. Last Sunday, we talked about how we are a generous church. But I got to say, what's been true about Purpose Church since the beginning, and you proved it again, you are a generous church. Last Sunday, I challenged us all to express radical generosity in three ways: by giving and packing 500 boxes for Operation Christmas Child for kids around the world. And at the end of our services, you had done just that. Then I challenged all of us to bring gifts, to give gifts for 200 foster youth and vulnerable children in our community here in Pomona, and you did that. And then I invited all of us to pray and to ask God how he is calling us to participate in helping see $1 million come in through Purpose Church as we give faithfully to God over November and December. Now, so many of you reached out and you shared your commitment to give and help us reach our goal of seeing God provide $1 million by the end of December. In fact, there was a young adult that we heard about who hadn't been giving, and then God led them to start giving. We talked with somebody who reached out to us from our congregation who felt God leading them to double their giving. And so we want to thank all of you that are participating with us in reaching this goal. We believe God is calling all of us to be radically generous so we can fully fund our overall ministry vision budget for 2024 and start 2025 financially strong and spiritually unified. Just this year, we have seen our attendance grow by 25%, and so many people have been experiencing life transformation through our ministries locally and globally around the world. But our giving has not increased in a way that can support the amazing growth we are seeing. But maybe some of you are going, okay, but I don't even live in California. In fact, we have people from all over the country, all over the world watching and tuning in. Maybe you're going, man, I don't even live in California. Does this goal to reach $1 million by the end of December involve me? And the answer is yes. In fact, did you know that every week people from all around the country and all around the world worship with us online through video and through our podcasts, even though they will never attend Purpose Church in person? And if that's you, well, you got to know you are a part of our Purpose Everywhere family. Did you also know that there are so many people around the country who believe so much in what God is doing through Purpose Church that they faithfully, regularly give to God through Purpose Church, even though they don't live in California? I mean, there are people right now in Arizona and Florida, Georgia, Hawaii, Idaho, Minnesota, Montana, Mississippi, New York, New Jersey, Nevada, Virginia, and other states who faithfully worship with us and give financially because God has called them to partner with our church, with your church, with their church. You see, if that's you, we are so grateful for your partnership. And if you're outside of California and God is using Purpose Church to help you follow Jesus and grow in your relationship with Him, we want to invite you to join the multitude of people around the country who believe everyone everywhere following Jesus is worth investing in financially through generosity and giving. Together from different parts of the country, we can give and meet our goal of seeing God provide $1 million by the end of December. Well, we are in a series. We're towards the tail end of a series called We Are That Kind of Church. 8 essentials for every church God blesses, Satan hates, and the world needs. And today we are talking about essential number 6. Which is we are a praying church. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says this, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer." The word prayer, or a variation of it, is used over 348 times in the Bible. The very first book of the Bible, Genesis, talks about Abraham praying for healing. Revelation, the last book of the Bible, talks about believers praying as an act of worship. And every book in between describes the significance and the power of prayer within the life of a believer. In fact, prayer is an essential spiritual discipline for everybody trying to connect with God. And it's even something the world is curious about. Did you know that during the pandemic, prayer was one of the highest Google searched words in over 95 countries. The word prayer was Google searched 130% more than the words takeout. And I know we don't want to go revisit the pandemic, but if you remember the pandemic, we were all doing a lot of takeout, okay? That's just how we survived. And yet the world at large was even more interested in prayer as we were all seeking hope. In 1535, let me take us back to 1535, there was a man named Peter Beskendorf who lived, and he was the barber and an old friend of Martin Luther, the great Reformation leader. And one day, Peter, Martin's barber, asked him for suggestions concerning prayer. And so Luther responded in this open letter called How One Should Pray for Master Peter the Barber, and he said this, "It is a good thing to let prayer be the first business of the morning and the last at night. Guard yourself carefully against those false, deluding ideas which tell you, 'Wait a little while, I will pray in an hour. First, I must attend to this or that.' Such thoughts get you away from prayer into other affairs, which so hold your attention and involve you that nothing comes of prayer for that day." It's also said that Martin Luther would oftentimes say this phrase, "I have so much to do that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer." Martin Luther understood that life is busy and there's lots of decisions to be made, but the life that God desires for us to live is one that is saturated in prayer. Now, as I was thinking about Martin Luther, this picture doesn't really do it justice, but Martin Luther had that pretty iconic haircut. And to think that Martin Luther's barber, Peter, was the one who sort of inspired Martin Luther's writings on prayer in this letter. I was just reflecting on the haircut. I thought, man, that's a pretty bold haircut. And then I remembered that it's become so iconic. In fact, I don't know if you remember this, but Tim Tebow actually pulled off the Martin Luther haircut. And so maybe some of you are thinking about trying something different. I don't know, maybe you're not into like the No Shave November and you're like, what could I do? I'm just saying, maybe you think about pulling the Martin Luther haircut. Well, today I want to talk about three simple truths to help you start or go deeper in prayer. You see, this is applicable to all of us. And maybe you've never prayed before, or maybe it's a really unfamiliar thing. Well, today's going to help you get started. And I bet there's some of you who you're going, and I would love to go deeper in prayer. Well, I think Paul's words for us, inspired by the Holy Spirit in 1 Timothy chapter 2, they're going to help us get going in the right direction. And it will be our anchor text for our time today. Paul said this, "I urge you, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth." Well, what is Paul saying here? Here's our first big idea. Pray first. Pray first. The question we're going to reflect on for a moment is, how should we pray? Paul opened this section talking about and commanding us, urging us to, he says, "I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving." Paul is saying you can't delay prayer. It's essential. It shouldn't be neglected. But then he specifically describes four categories: petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving. What is the difference between them? You know, I love studying church fathers, brilliant theologians, and I also really appreciate when they're just humble and honest and baffled themselves. In fact, John Calvin, another Reformation leader like Martin Luther, about this exact passage, this is what John Calvin said. "I admit that I do not completely understand the difference between them." John Calvin's going, I'm just not exactly sure what the specifics are, but let me try to take a stab at it. And they're very similar in a lot of ways, but maybe there are a few unique differences. Let's talk about petitions. Petitions is the Greek word deesis, which means an urgent request to meet a need. Petitions are making requests for specific needs. I remember when our oldest daughter, Brinley, was going through heart surgery. She had two open heart surgeries. And after the last one, we got a bill in the mail for $1,900. And I remember being a little bit concerned about how we were going to afford this, how we were going to be able to pay this bill. And so my wife, Sarah, and I, we just started praying and asking God, how do we fulfill this? How do we pay this bill for $1,900? Well, around the same time, we got actually a letter from some friends who lived on the other side of the country. And they had been praying for us. They had been praying for Brinley, but they didn't know about this bill for $1,900. Well, they wrote us a letter, and one day I opened it when it came in the mail, and the letter said, "Hey guys, you know we've been praying for you, we've been praying for Brinley, but God put it on our heart to send you a check for a very specific amount." And literally, the check was for $1,900, the exact amount that we owed. And you know, when we petition God, when we ask him for things, he doesn't always answer exactly the way we want him to. In fact, God does answer every prayer in one of three ways: either yes, no, or not yet. And so sometimes God doesn't exactly give us the answer that we are looking for, but we are commanded in Scripture to petition, to be very specific in our requests. Secondly, what about prayers? What about the category of prayers? Prayers here is the Greek word prosuke, which means words addressed to God. Prayers are bringing our petitions in view before God. Why would Paul say prayers here? I think it's because Paul is helping us, reminding us to never lose sight of who we are talking to when we pray. I mean, God is not a genie in a bottle, somebody that we control, who exists, whose sole existence is to grant all of our wishes. We're talking about the creator of the universe. And the Bible points us to this. The Bible is constantly elevating our view, our picture of God. In fact, in Psalm 8, chapter 8, verses 3-4, it says, "When I consider your heavens," yes, the heavens that we don't even know a fraction of belong to God, "the work of your fingers," the details of creation, most of which we have no idea about, "the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them?" You see, Scripture paints this beautiful picture of God, who is our creator. He is all powerful. He always existed. And we, as his creation, are small and finite and fragile. But God cares about us. God cares about you. He's mindful of you. To think that you and I, as mere humans, could petition the creator of the universe is mind-blowing, but Scripture says that's who God is. The third category Paul brings up is intercession. Intercession is the Greek word entuxis, which means to appeal on another's behalf. Intercession is appealing boldly on the behalf of another. I remember when I was the high school pastor here at Purpose Church, there was a high school student who we really wanted to see come back to our youth group. She hadn't been coming for a while, and so I remember I would text her, and our ministry assistant, Courtney, would text her, and we'd tell her how much we wanted her to be a part of our youth group, and she just ghosted us. I mean, she left me on read. She wasn't talking. She didn't respond, and so we just started praying. In fact, we just prayed every single week that God would bring her back to our high school ministry. And then one Wednesday night, right as youth group was about to start, all of a sudden this girl got out of her parents' car and started walking into youth group. And I was so excited. I said, "We're so glad you're here. What brought you back this Wednesday night?" And she said, "Well, it's the craziest thing. I haven't been very close with God recently. I haven't wanted to come to youth group. And then last night I had a dream. And in my dream, God spoke to me and said, go back to HSM," which is our high school ministry. "Go back to HSM." You see, God can move in ways in people's hearts that you and I can't. God can persuade and motivate people in ways that we can't, but it is our job to intercede. It is our job to appeal on the behalf of, to pray for. But here's what's really cool. It's not just us who do the interceding. Look at what it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God." But then look at what it says in 34. "Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us." Oh, believer, follower of Jesus, Christian, this is very encouraging news. God, the Holy Spirit, God the Son, are interceding for us. And it says that the Father, who searches our hearts, is doing so because he's looking to see, is our heart at the depth of who we are in alignment with his? And wherever our hearts are not in alignment with his, that's where God goes to work. And then the last category that Paul mentions is thanksgiving. The Greek word for thanksgiving is eucharistia. It's where we get Eucharist from, or the communion, remembering, thanking Jesus for giving his life for us. The meaning is the act of giving thanks or being grateful. Thanksgiving is expressing gratitude to God. Now, why did Paul include this? Because, frankly, we can spend all of our times petitioning and interceding and forgetting to thank God. In fact, some of you have been petitioning for a while. Some of you have big burdens on your heart. And God, in his word, makes it clear he wants to hear those from us, but he also wants to hear our gratitude. That it's also appropriate and necessary that we thank God even before the miracle comes, even before we get the answer that we're hoping for, even if we don't get the answer that we're hoping for. In fact, growing up in a medium-sized Presbyterian church, we would oftentimes during worship have these times of call and response. And I wanted to do that right now for those of you that are watching at home or those of you that are listening. I'm going to put a scripture up on the screen, Psalm 136. And I'm going to read the parts in yellow and then the parts in white that say, his love endures forever. I want to actually invite you to read those out loud with me, to say those out loud with me as a way of expressing our gratitude to God. So let's try this together. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens, his love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters, his love endures forever. See, maybe right now you're struggling. Maybe you're wrestling with God. Maybe you've got some burdens. I want to invite you to read and to pray the Psalms. I want to encourage you to pray first. And maybe you're wondering, well, how should I pray? We just walked through it. Petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving. I want to invite you to practice these categories, these ways of praying, because prayer is essential. I love what John Bunyan said. He was the 17th century Puritan preacher, also the author of The Pilgrim's Progress. He said this, "You can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed." But I think Paul has a little bit more for us in 1 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to see our second truth to start or to go deeper in prayer is to pray strategically. So we're supposed to pray first, and then we pray strategically. Let's look at the question, who should we pray for? Now, the Bible describes at length all the different groups of people we should pray for. Let me just try to list a couple of them for you. Number one, pray for world leaders. Our anchor text says, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. And we're going to look at the all people here in a little bit. But he also says, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Now, here's what's extraordinary about this passage right here, about the words that Paul uses and the context and the time that it was written. At this time, there were no Christian government leaders. There were no Christian authority figures or no kings. It was just too early on in the movement. And so there are other places in Scripture where we're commanded to pray for pastors and spiritual leaders, and we'll see those in a moment. But here, the Bible calls us to pray for all authority figures and all leaders, which is why I want to take a moment right now, in light of that verse, to spend a few moments praying for our future president-elect and our future vice president-elect and their cabinet. In fact, in light of that verse, on October 25th, 11 days before the election, I wrote this prayer for our future president, vice president, and their cabinet, not knowing who was going to be elected, but knowing that we are biblically commanded to pray for our leaders, whether we voted for them or not. In fact, the first Christians did just that. They prayed for their emperors and leaders, even the ones who had character flaws, who were unjust, and who persecuted them, because they believed prayer was powerful and God moves when his people pray. And so I want to invite you right now to join me as we pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to live in a country where we have the opportunity and the right to cast our vote for elected officials. We are grateful to live in the United States, and at the same time, our primary citizenship is not in the kingdoms of this world, but in your kingdom. Help us as believers to continually put all our faith in you in all seasons. God, your perfect word commands us and calls us to pray for our elected officials. So in obedience to your word, we pray for President-elect Donald Trump and Vice President-elect J.D. Vance and their cabinet of leaders. First, we pray they will trust and submit to you. Psalm 72, verse 11 says, "May all kings bow down to God and all nations serve him." Heavenly Father, we ask that their personal lives and leadership would be in alignment with you. We pray you would convict and correct any of their policies or approaches that are not in alignment with your word. Thank you, Jesus, that you love them enough to continually pursue them and draw them to yourself. And we ask that they would hear you knocking on the doors of their hearts, and they would let you in and trust you completely. Secondly, God, we pray they will lead with integrity and wisdom. Proverbs 22:11 says, "For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors." As the leaders representing this nation, would President-elect Donald Trump and Vice President-elect J.D. Vance surround themselves with a cabinet and other voices who are wise and godly in their counsel? And would they listen and lead with humility, integrity, honor, and skill? We pray they would use their leadership and power to serve justly and with compassion. God, please keep them healthy. We pray for their safety, and we ask you to watch over their families and those who serve alongside them. And finally, God, I pray we will always put our ultimate hope in you. Hebrews 12:28 says, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe." God, would you help us as believers to pray for our leaders, to respectfully challenge them when their actions and policies are unjust and ungodly? And would we find our deepest hope and confidence in your unshakable and forever enduring kingdom? Regardless of whether we voted for our president-elect and vice president-elect, may we not waver and may we not give up on the gospel and the great commission you have given us. We are your ambassadors and your witnesses in a broken and hurting world in desperate need of your saving grace and hope, which you, Jesus, offer everyone everywhere through your death and resurrection. Jesus, you taught us in Matthew 22:39 to love our neighbors. May we practice that now and be an example to the world of what it looks like to love and not demonize others who we may disagree with politically, because our allegiance is first and foremost to you. We love you, Jesus, our King, our Savior, and our Lord forever and always. Amen. Well, Paul said that we're supposed to pray for all people. Let's talk about a few of those. We pray for fellow Christians. In Colossians 1:9, it says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives." We pray for our enemies. Jesus said in Matthew 5:44, "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." We pray for our spiritual leaders, our pastors. In Ephesians 6:19, "Pray also for me," Paul said, "that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel." And Purpose Church, I just wanted to say thank you for praying for me. That we have sensed, me and my family, we have felt your prayers. Thank you for praying for all of our pastors and all of our staff here at Purpose Church. We sense your prayers. And I want to be honest with you, that's the best gift that you can give your pastoral team and your staff here at Purpose Church is your prayers. But I want to also encourage you to pray for your other spiritual leaders in your life, for the life group leaders who lead your life group, for the people who lead in the ministry that you serve in, to be actively praying for them. We're also commanded to pray for demonic deliverance. Jesus said in Mark chapter 9, verse 29, this kind, talking about a person who had been possessed by a demon, this kind of deliverance can come out only by prayer. God may be leading you to pray for demonic deliverance. We're also commanded to pray for the lost. Acts chapter 4, just verse 29 says, "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness." You see, the early Christians were passionate, even though they were being persecuted, about praying for the lost that they would hear God's word. I love this quote by Lee Strobel, and I find it really convicting. He said, "If God answered your prayers, would anyone new be in the kingdom?" I just want to say it's the beginning of November. Up to this point in 2024, if God said yes to all of your prayers, would there be anyone new in the kingdom? There's a great story of D.L. Moody, the 19th century American evangelist and preacher, where he carried in his pocket the names of 100 people in his life who didn't know Jesus. And every day he would pray for them. Well, by the time D.L. Moody passed away, 96 of the 100 had received Christ and put their faith in Jesus. Well, then it came time for the funeral, and those 96 and the 4 who had not yet received Christ all gathered along with friends and family, and the gospel was shared at D.L. Moody's funeral. And at the end of it, those last 4 that D.L. Moody had been praying for put their faith in Christ. You see, I'm absolutely convinced that transformation happened through the prayers, the faithful prayers of D.L. Moody and so many others. We're also encouraged to pray for healing. Let's go back to Acts chapter 4 and read the rest of the verse. "Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. You see, there was something really powerful about the early church asking God to win the hearts of the lost and asking God to perform miracles, that he showed up in a powerful way. Do you know there's a woman at our church that I recently just heard about who felt God calling her 7 months ago to start praying for a friend of hers every single week who doesn't know Jesus, who is battling cancer. And every single week, this woman in our church faithfully goes to her friend's house, who doesn't know Jesus, but who's welcome and open to receiving prayer, and she is faithfully prayed. And they haven't seen a healing yet, they haven't seen change, and yet she is persistent. She is intentional in her intercession and in her prayers for healing. A couple years ago, I remember I was at winter camp with some of our students here, and all of our leaders, we were praying that we would see God move in a big way. There was one of our students who was with us. His name was Samuel, and all weekend, Samuel was just having horrible back pain, and Samuel wasn't a follower of Jesus, and all weekend, his back was hurting. And then that particular night that we had been praying all day as leaders that God would show up in a powerful way, it was decision night. The gospel was presented. And Samuel felt led by God. His heart was open, and he wanted to start following Jesus. And so Samuel raised his hand to give his life to Christ, and he told us instantly his back was healed. You see, sometimes God heals quickly. Sometimes God heals, and it takes some time. Sometimes we don't see God heal in the way we want him to, and we're left wondering why. But our job is to trust him. Our job is to be faithful and to trust the results to him. I love what Jim Cimbala challenges us with. If we do not yearn and pray and expect God to stretch out his hand and do the supernatural, it will not happen. We must give God room to operate. Message plus divine demonstration. Doctrine plus power. This is the New Testament way. And then lastly, we need to pray for unity among God's people. Did you know that Jesus prayed for you? Have you ever heard that before? In John chapter 17, Jesus says, "My prayer is not for them alone," talking about the group of people that were following him at that time. "I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message." That's you. That's me. "That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." See, for Jesus, it's really, really important. In fact, it was his prayer for us that we would be one, that we would be unified. Why? So that the world would see the church, even after a contentious election, even in a context of divisiveness, even in a plurality of opinions about secondary and tertiary issues. The body of Christ is meant to be one, is meant to be unified. And when the world sees a diverse gathering of people who are unified and united in Christ, they will ask more questions. They will begin to be curious, because they will see the power of God at work in and through us. And then lastly, number three, truth number three to help you start or go deeper in prayer: pray to please God. This really gets at the why should we pray. Let's go back to our text, 1 Timothy chapter 2. He ends with, "This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth." What pleases God? It's simply this: praying Christians whose lives are marked by godliness and holiness. What pleases God? How can you and I please God? By being a praying Christian whose life is marked by godliness and holiness. Back to Jim Cimbala, he said it this way: "You can tell how popular a church is by who comes on Sunday morning. You can tell how popular the pastor or evangelist is by who comes on Sunday night. But you can tell how popular Jesus is by who comes to the prayer meeting." And we've said this before, it has been true in the past and it will be true into the future: Jesus Christ is the most popular person at Purpose Church, because we are striving to be praying Christians who seek him and whose lives are marked by godliness and holiness. And Purpose Church, it was so clear a couple weeks ago that Jesus truly is the most popular person in our church. We invited you, we called you to come out and to pray for our night of worship and prayer, our all-church night of worship and prayer. And we invited all of you to come out, and over 400 of you came out to our event center. It was standing room only. I mean, we almost had to turn people away, but we just kept cramming together into the event center to seek God. And it was a beautiful sight. I saw every generation. I saw every ethnicity. We were praying with each other. We were praying by ourselves. We were reading scripture together. We were worshiping. It was a powerful night, which is why I am so excited to share that we are going to continue these. In fact, our next one is Wednesday, January 29th. Mark your calendar now, our all-church worship and prayer night, and it will be in the worship center. I mean, there were too many of you that wanted to be a part of it. We can't fit in the event center anymore, so we're moving to the worship center, and here's my challenge to you: invite everyone you know. Are you begging God for a healing? Are you begging God for direction? Are you wanting to show up and pray for your church family? Do you want to adore and acknowledge God and worship him and pray together? I want to invite you out to this powerful night, because I just know this to be true: God moves when his people pray. God moves when his people pray. And in fact, that really is my story. You see, I went to summer camp going into my freshman year of high school, not wanting anything to do with God. And it was on decision night that I heard the gospel and that my heart was open and I received and began following Jesus. I mean, it was an amazing, life-changing night. But a couple years ago, I had the opportunity to meet the speaker of the camp that I was at. And it had been about 23 years. And so I just thanked him. I said, his name was Barry. I said, Barry, thank you so much for sharing the gospel that night. Do you remember anything specific about that night that you said in your message? And he said, I don't remember much of what I said, but here's what I'll never forget. And he said, you may not know this, but during that night, during those chapel nights when the gospel was shared, they had the most minimal amount of staff inside of that room necessary to make sure that everything operated as it should. And instead, they had all the rest of their staff circling the chapel, praying and praying and praying that God would change the hearts and lives of those students. And all of a sudden hit me that it was through the power of prayer that my life was changed. And just as Pastor Ashley said, we as a church are going to enter into a time in January, 21 days of prayer and fasting, because we believe God is up to some great things and we don't want to miss it, because we believe God moves when his people pray. And so friends, here's our spiritual practice for the week. Pick three of the categories below that you want to intentionally pray for. Each day this week, pray for 5 minutes every morning for one category. Pray for 5 minutes every afternoon for a second category. And pray for 5 minutes every evening for a third category. And let's watch how God transforms us personally, our families, our communities, our churches, and our world through prayer. Because we are a praying church.